Lashana Tova Tikitevu, may you be inscribed for a good year, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with the effervescent love of my life, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, honey, and shalom aleichem to all our listeners as we really do look forward to the new year. It's just a few weeks away because it really could be a new beginning to those who are called by his name. Let us pray.
Oh, Lord, our God. We are your humble servants who long to be called your queen. We therefore anxiously await your trumpet call. Until then, give us boldness to increase our evangelism in these last days as we lift up to you all our loved ones that still need your salvation. We speak your healing power over any listener tonight that needs any cure. We pray protection over Israel's soldiers and an end to the war in Ukraine. And may tonight's study bring a face to your smile. We ask in Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. We want to thank those of you who commented on last week's program and how much you enjoyed it and the song. That was Come Jesus Come by Stephen McWhorter.
Yes, that was very fitting for these last days.
If you missed that program or want to re-listen, it is up on shofarministries.net. And we do not need more signs, but he does tell us that when we hear the words spoken of peace and security, then sudden destruction comes upon them as a thief.
Because 1 Thessalonians 5:3 says, we won't be surprised.
Right, for he'll come as a thief only to them who are not saved. In fact, I'm reminded about Yeshua's scolding words to the Pharisees in Matthew 16. Honey, please read verses 1, 2, and 3.
Then the Pharisees and Sadducees came, and testing him, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites! You know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times.
Wow, think about that. He is reprimanding them for not recognizing the signs. Maybe if they had read the writings of the prophets, as some did, they would have known.
Well, you know, but most of them only knew the Torah.
Yes, in fact, they had to memorize the whole Torah by the time of their bar mitzvah at age 12 or 13, which left little time for their other writings. Just like today, few read the prophets, only reading the New Testament.
Yeah, we need to balance it.
In fact, today most churches shy away from end time prophecy,
claiming it's too divisive.
But it isn't.
I know.
When the truth is properly and hermeneutically studied, but of course that does take time, and many pastors are running to and fro instead of having their deacons carry on with the cares of the church, leaving pastors the proper time to study. And sadly, many are getting sermons over the Internet's AI and then just tweaking it.
But the people should request teachings on the end times.
Yes, they should. Then again, we are in the times of the lukewarm Laodicean church age.
That we are. Okay, but we better get to the news, especially on Israel.
Well, the IDF has now begun the first steps of its invasion of Gaza City and are completely controlling the outskirts. And the people are moving down south, and Egypt has reinforced its southern border to guard from any Palestinian sneaking into Egypt through Rafah Gate as well. Egypt also built a massive, tall wall around the area.
Yeah, they assumed terrorists disguised as civilians would infiltrate.
Yes, and a while back, Egypt worked very hard to rid themselves of the Muslim Brotherhood, which Hamas is an offshoot of. And in response to still more missiles from the Houthis, Israel bombed Yemen Sunday morning, particularly oil facilities, ballistic missile sites.
Even the presidential palace.
Yes. And Iran says they are ready for any action from Israel, although most of their problems are internal explosions from anti-government factions.
As well, Iran has very little water left.
And they are rationing electricity as well. Of course, this is all pushing more protesters into the streets demanding government change. And Iran is punishing dissidents, but they just can't get them all.
And then there's Russia,
who is being very bad. Even after shaking hands with President Trump, he is still heavily hitting Ukraine. In fact, just a few days after their meeting in Alaska, Russia sent in 574 drones and 40 missiles, even hitting an American-owned electronics factory, causing fires and extensive damage.
Thankfully, only one death and 15 injured.
Well, I can imagine that Trump was humiliated, and he has now given Putin under 2 weeks to end the war.
That would bring it into the first week in September.
Teshuva will turn out to be, let's just say, very significant this year.
And the Druze in Syria are still suffering persecution.
They are. And it doesn't seem that Jelani, now known as al-Sharaa, can stop it. However, a probable agreement at the UN summit in September is supposed to be signed. You know, a lot of deals are scheduled to occur. Just in time for a possible rapture. And an HHS recent data has concluded that over 11,000 migrant children were placed with unvetted sponsors under the Biden administration.
As Jesus said, woe unto them.
But we leave you with some good news. I recently saw genuine pictures and videos on alternative news of Gazans in their safe areas, enjoying lots of food and the shelves in their stores not lacking. But the mainstream media does not show you these pictures, only the yucky ones. And finally, Letitia James' civil fraud case has collapsed against President Trump.
Another blow to the Dems' lawfare.
And she's even a bigger fool if she tries to appeal again. Oh, and there is one more thing. A fast-moving, very large object the size of Manhattan is approaching the Earth, who has been given the name 3I Atlas, expected to come the nearest to Earth on December 17th. Some are saying it's just too big to be an asteroid or a comet, or perhaps it's a craft of an alien origin. Again, setting the stage on how to explain away the rapture. And it's working, because most are now believing that there is life in outer space.
Well, there is. Read Ephesians 6.
Amen.
All right, then. You can send your end-time question by email to Sheila at shofarministry.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006 or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are needed and greatly appreciated, which automatically adds you to our newsletter mailing list. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you can access any of our past programs, letters, and added teachings.
Okay, last week we began our yearly review on the feast, beginning, of course, with the next upcoming, still literally unfulfilled feast of Rosh Hashanah, September 16th and 17th, if you're looking at a scene calendar, or the 23rd and 24th on the Hebrew calendar.
So, could be either one.
Yes, however, some who study the Essene calendar do lean more toward next year, and those who follow the Hebrew calendar, which Jesus did follow when he was here, lean more hopefully to this year.
So, really, no one can be too exact.
Right, but we do have significant signs regardless which calendar you prefer, of a soon last Trump call. So last week we covered just a little. So as a quick review, we brought out the fact that both calendars puts Rosh Hashanah on a Tuesday, just a week earlier on the Essene calendar.
And why is that significant?
Because Tuesdays were the day marriages happened.
Due to the extra blessing on Tuesday in Genesis 1.
That's right. And we mentioned that the Essene calendar can be confusing because they count in Onas, Jubilees, and Shemitahs. Which, by the way, we are in a Shemitah year then right now, representing a time of rest and rejuvenation.
Which, if the rapture happens, it would be.
For us, yes, it certainly would be. And even though the Essene calendar is a little confusing, it is often beneficial when it comes to eschatology, where God often intertwines both calendars, and they were right on predicting the first coming.
So, both calendars can be useful depending on the matter.
That's right. Mm-hmm. We also explained why Rosh Hashanah lasts for 2 days, so no one knows what day or hour, which is also a common expression for Rosh Hashanah. And, by the way, the Pharisees already taught that the resurrection would be on a Rosh Hashanah some year. And that's a fact.
Yes, we have proof of that in their tractate.
We also discussed how Jesus died on Passover on a Thursday, put in the tomb before sundown, which would then begin their feast of unleavened bread.
Which is also an extra Sabbath day.
And he rose 3 days later on the Feast of First Fruits and sent the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. So that's a literal fulfillment of the first four feasts.
However, to us, all seven feasts are spiritually fulfilled in our hearts.
Of course. But we still look forward to the literal fulfillment of the last three. Plus, also the Sabbath, you know, when Jesus sets up his kingdom here on earth.
So actually, eight appointments.
Yes. Which again, spiritually for us, there are actually eight feasts because the Sabbath was also spiritually fulfilled because Jesus is our Sabbath rest, for he lives inside of us.
And Hebrew 4 speaks about that.
Which is why his number is the number 8.
Meaning never-ending eternity.
Yes. But remember, for the bride, the literal messianic kingdom begins at the rapture, when we go up to heaven for our wedding and honeymoon for 7 years. And then we'll return to earth for the remaining 993 years. And then after that, ushering in eternity, when God brings heaven down to earth, Revelation 21, that holy city. And then we'll see what God has in store for us after Revelation 22.
It will be great, I'm sure.
Yes, for sure.
Okay, so moving on. What is the Hebrew word for feast?
It's moed, which literally means a set time or appointment specified in Scripture, as in Leviticus 23, by God himself. And by the way, not only is there a spiritual and literal application, but also there's historical. As when the Hebrews experienced their first Passover, Nisan 14 in Egypt, left after sundown on unleavened bread, Nisan 15, and crossed through the sea on the Feast of First Fruits, Nisan 17, and was given their Torah 50 days later on what was the first Pentecost. You know, it's amazing how this teaching of God's appointments has been so neglected for so many centuries.
Yeah, I know. It seems crazy.
But God has put it back in many of our hearts, and finally, a few churches are now recognizing this treasure. But it should have been taught right alongside the Ten Commandments in Sunday school, which also originated back in Exodus 20.
Given on the first Pentecost.
And as you know, now in the New Testament, Jesus simplifies all 10 with just 2 commandments in Matthew 22.
Love God and love your neighbor.
However, in today's society of immorality, most should stick to the 10, just to be more specific.
Good point.
And I say that because I once heard a guy say, well, I sure do love my neighbor. I visit her all the time.
That's humorous and a good reason for being precise.
Then again, if you read the whole New Testament, Jesus speaks often about immorality. And in Revelation 21:8, he's very specific that those who sexually practice immorality will not inherit the kingdom.
In other words, making it a lifestyle.
Right. So the next of the last three, still literally unfulfilled, fall appointments of God is Rosh Hashanah, meaning the head of the year.
As in God's new year.
Yes. Their first civil calendar begins in the Hebrew month of Tishrei, whereas the later biblical calendar from Exodus 12 begins in Nisan, when the Hebrews left Egypt, and the month Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected. Anyhow, at the end of the 6,000th year from Adam's creation, the resurrection is expected to happen.
Maybe this year, and at the latest next year.
The reason the calendar says 5785 years is due to the captivities which were not included, and therefore miscalculated. Rosh Hashanah is called the Feast of Trumpets because it's a memorial celebration of the blowing of trumpets, as written in Leviticus 23:23.
In the seventh month, on the first of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation.
Hebrew for convocation is mikra, meaning rehearsal, and a holy gathering, which they did every year, and the more religious still do today, you know, similar to how some Christians celebrate Christmas and Easter. So, as you as your reminder, we are right now in the 30 days of the month of Elul. Today is actually the 10th of Elul in the season of Teshuvah.
Just prior to the Feast of Trumpets.
When the Israelites would blow a shofar every day as a reminder and a warning to examine themselves thoroughly for anything that might keep them from being a part of the most talked about and anticipated event some year on a Rosh Hashanah.
The resurrection.
And again, let me emphasize, they always knew the resurrection would be on some Rosh Hashanah / Feast of Trumpets called Yom Terah in Hebrew, which is why this current season of Teshuvah means to return to a closer union with God.
So not just about repentance from sin.
Right. For they did daily sacrifices for those, actually all year long. Elul is also a warning time about unforgiveness in your heart.
As in not holding grudges toward someone.
Nor letting the cares of this life supersede personal time with God in His scriptures.
So as well, this is a good time to take stock of ourselves.
Right. We know as born-again Christians, Jesus was that ultimate sacrifice for our sins. But what about all those things that we should do, but do not?
Or maybe you find yourself going backwards a little at a time.
Or what's worse is perhaps you only have a head knowledge, not a real conversion of the heart. This would certainly be the time to examine your heart, because very soon, my friend, He will shout for His bride. And as we've said many times, James 5 says it will be in the season of the great harvest,
which we all know is in the fall.
So in summary, because repetition is good for the memory, Jesus has kept His first four appointments in the spring with the last three He will keep in the fall, where, by the way, they eat of the fruit and honey to symbolize and to anticipate a sweet new year. So next week, we're going to look at some more common idiomatic phrases used for Rosh Hashanah. But my favorite idiom was specifically used by Paul on purpose in 1 Corinthians 15:51.
The last trump.
Right. Now, unfortunately, it's probably the most misinterpreted idiom and a perfect example of why some knowledge of Hebraic roots is so very important, especially when it comes to eschatology. This expression is used due to the fact that, as we said, not only is a shofar blown every day during Teshuvah, they also blow it on the 30th day of this Feast of Trumpets. 100 trumpet blasts, and at the last trump, would usher in the Rosh Hashanah feast and celebrate God's creation. Sort of like the ball dropping in Times Square on December 31st. It's important to note that Paul knew they would recognize that idiom. Of course he did. And now so do we. It's another sure confirmation. We will be departing this earth on some Feast of Trumpets. It's just a coincidence that our president's name is Trump. If he is just joking about his works getting him to heaven, as he's recently said, but really does have Jesus in his heart, then he will be going with us. Which in my mind, that makes more sense. Leaving all the unrighteous to do their thing. It's also important to note that the seventh angel that blows a trumpet in Revelation 11 is not the same as the last trump. And boy, I've been hearing that a lot lately, which is why people say, oh, we must be going through part of the tribulation. No, my friends, it is not the same. And by the way, Pentecost also carries an idiom of a trump called the first trump. Due to the fact in Exodus 19, it was the first time a shofar was blown by God when he gave them the law on Mount Sinai on the first Pentecost. And even Yom Kippur is given the idiom, the great trump, as we see recorded in Matthew 24:31, when Jesus returns. So obviously on a Yom Kippur. Another clue to those of us who know our roots, having a deeper understanding of eschatology. And we have a lot more to share with you, of course, next week. But before we close, and this is very important, if you are backsliding, or if you even wonder whether you are an in-name-only Christian, that's talked about in Matthew 7, with only a head knowledge and not a true heart conviction. A good reason to think that is if you have no desire to be in his word. Anyhow, get on your knees right now and don't wait, because if you hesitate, the enemy might steal this seed away. Grab it now. We're running out of time. Repent of your individual sins, and certainly because they probably have a stronghold over you. Then commit, or in some cases recommit, your life to Yeshua. He's no respecter of persons. He died for the whole world. He is the Messiah to anyone who wants him. Remember, God sends no one to hell. You decide yourself where your soul that never dies spends eternity. It really is your call, your choice. Don't be a fool. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessings from number six, verse 22 through 27. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, that lasting shalom. So till next time, sha'alu shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, those who love her. You're going to prosper in a lot of different ways. And that's from Psalm 122, verse 6. So get your act together. pray a lot, and of course, witness to anybody that the Lord puts in your path. Till next time, Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.